Last time I ate a bat sandwich, let me just say I regretted it. Do not order the bat sandwich from Mr. Sub.
When last year came around, you left us with questions that linger. Feeling directionless, seems like the world gave us the finger. What are we gonna do? What are we gonna do with our lives? Lisa and Colin need to figure it out. This is the show, we figure out what to do with our lives.
So growing up, you said you had certain things that kind of conspiracy theories you created in your brain. Like you just decided how things worked that you didn't know how they worked. You made your own answers.
Yeah, I think a lot of kids do that. But there's a couple ones that I remember distinctly, and especially because, so my mom has this story that I used to thank green lights when we were in the car. We'd be sitting at a red light and then it would turn green and I would say, "Thank you, greenie." And as we go through,
that's so cute.
And she thought that was adorable. But for me, I was not thanking the green light. I was thanking the guy who was operating the green light, who worked like under like a sewer cap near the green light, and that his job was to be there, and like if he saw a car and it was waiting, turn that green light on.
So the mole person that lived in the sewers controlling the infrastructure of our traffic system.
Yeah. And then I even thought that, like, you never saw him. You wouldn't see him because otherwise people would, like, get angry at him and they would be, like, interfering with his very important job, which was to do it in a fair and equitable way.
Wow.
And that's why I would always thank green lights, because I literally thought I was thanking a person.
Did anyone put that in your head, or you just completely created that on your own?
No, I really think it was me, like, seeing this thing and being like, well, what is this? How does this work? I know. It's got to work like this.
That's kind of cool. So it was just your creative mind. Were you like 4?
Yeah, I was pretty young. I must have been like...
You're like, I was 15.
4 or 5.
Did you think Greenie could hear you?
Oh, yeah. That's why I wasn't doing it for fun. I was being...
Was it like fear-based? You were like, I don't want Greenie to get upset.
Right. Yeah. Well, because it did seem like when you're stopped and you're waiting, it almost, and you're a kid, it almost seems like a punishment. Like, ugh, I'm in time out here.
Right.
And then and then Greenie's letting you out and you're on your way.
You're just like, thank God, another day when Greenie allowed us to keep moving our car.
Yeah.
Some people he doesn't give this to. I better thank him. To ensure mom and I can get home from the CVS again next week.
Right. That's how you encourage your traffic overlord to give you special privileges and rights.
Wow. This brings us into today's episode. Colin and I are going to try out the phase of getting really into a conspiracy theory.
Yeah. I think what's really appealing about conspiracy theories, obviously conspiracy theories are a bit of a hot button topic at the moment.
Insert music about hot button topic. hot button topics.
Don't you touch that hot button topic.
But what's so cool about conspiracy theories and people that are into them, seems to me, is these people do not seem lost at all. They have a great sense of purpose. And you and I, at this very moment,
lacking
purpose. Conspiracy theories get you motivated, in my opinion.
I completely agree. And I'd like to reference an article I found this weekend from National Geographic. It was written by one Miss Jillian Kramer. And she talked about the reasons why people latch onto conspiracy theories, according to science. One of these reasons is that they crave cognitive closure. Basically, they want cognitive shortcuts. These are people like us who feel insecure, maybe in their relationships. Maybe they catastrophize life's problems. They're feeling a little unstable. I think that speaks to every single person in this pandemic right now. We're all feeling unstable in different ways. So those are people who are more prone to believing in conspiracy theories. So she said it's not surprising we're seeing a spike in them right now.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always think about conspiracy theories as a way to... Oh, there's this phrase that I'm going to probably butcher, and I don't know who said it first, but conspiracy theories attribute a lot of events to intention, where as opposed to incompetence. Mm. And it's sort of almost comforting to think that things typically of like a historical nature go down because someone is so smart that they've foreseen an interesting way to use it to their advantage. Whereas the reality is often things just go bad because people aren't that competent.
Yeah. And sometimes things randomly go bad or bad things randomly happen. But that's really scary to think about.
Right. The chaos.
We'd much rather. Chaos. It's giving so much credit to so many people, like giving so much credit to our government. I mean, how organized would people have to be? Experts also say that people are more likely to believe misinformation that they're exposed to over and over again, such as, not to get political, but here we go, allegations of election fraud or claims that COVID is no more dangerous than the flu. The brain mistakes familiarity for truth. And the other thing is collective narcissism, a group believing it's more significant than it is, especially when the group is failing. The best way to deal with psychological threat posed by failure. And usually there's a savior selected, a person who will save their in-group from a conspiring enemy.
Mm.
So all that tracked for me.
Right.
And if you and I get into this, we could do it in a more positive way, you know? Like, we don't have to go after someone. Like, our enemy could be, you know, pigeons. There's this
totally
whole movement.
Agree.
The birds aren't real movement against pigeons. Pigeons are government-issued drones. Like, we can go after someone who can take the heat.
And if anyone can take the heat, I feel like it's pigeons, because there's so many of them. They're all over our cities. They're shitting on our statues.
Yeah.
They're eating our bird seed.
Talk about them. Yeah, and why do they look like that?
And why do they move their heads when they walk all the time?
It's almost like they're trying to take little pictures with their eyes.
Right.
Pictures of us and our shoes. A nearly two-year-old movement that claims the CIA took out 12 billion feathered fugitives because directors within the organization were annoyed that birds had been dropping fecal matter on their car windows. The targets were eradicated between 1959 and 1971 and specially altered B-52 bombers stocked with poison. They were then supplanted with avian-like robots that could be used to survey Americans. That tracks for me. That makes sense.
Yeah, I'm into it. Ooh, can I tell you about my favorite one that I found? Because this one is so good. This one, I found what I believe is sort of like the missing link of all the conspiracy theories. The greatest mother of all conspiracy theories, in my opinion, that I found. One that can sort of take any other conspiracy theory and sweep it up into its own beautiful gusto. Whoa. It's lizard people.
Yes. Yes.
You have found the lizard people as well?
I've heard a bit about the lizard people from my friend Kate, who knows a lot about conspiracy theories, just because she's like a wealth of knowledge. I don't think she's happens to be into any. But she talked to me about the lizard people. Tell me what you've learned.
Okay. So I found out about this guy. His last name is Ike? I-C-K-E? He's like the big guy who wrote something about the lizard people.
Icky?
I don't know. Is it Icky? Our podcast is very well sourced. So this guy, he's sort of the guy that brought the lizard people conspiracy theory to the forefront of conspiracy theory knowledge. He wrote about it like in the late 90s. So according to him, this is the deal with the lizard people. They're an interdimensional race of reptilian beings called Archons. They've hijacked the Earth, and a genetically modified human Archon hybrid race of shape-shifting reptilians known as the Babylonian Brotherhood, the Illuminati, or the Elite, manipulate...
Oh, they're the Illuminati?
Yes. Yes, they are, Risa.
Oh, yes. Full circle.
Manipulate.
Wait, Jay-Z and Beyonce are lizard people?
Yes, for sure. They manipulate global events to help keep humans in constant fear so that the Archons can feed off their negative energy, which this creates. Many prominent public figures belong to the Babylonian Brotherhood. They're propelling humanity towards an Orwellian global fascist state. And the only way that this Archontic influence can be defeated is if people wake up to the truth and fill their hearts with love. That's a quote.
Wait, that's the cure, is just fill your heart with love?
Well, first you got to wake up. Wake up, sheeple.
Wake up, sheeple.
Everybody else is a lizard person. Critics have accused him of being anti-Semitic and a Holocaust denier.
There we go.
With his theories about reptilians serving as a deliberate code. He denies these claims. Studies have found that 4% of the U.S. voting population believes in reptilian conspiracy theories.
Yes. This is what my friend Kate was saying, that it's actually very prominent. Out of all the conspiracy theories, this is like one of the top ones that a lot of Americans believe, which is pretty incredible. And I can sort of understand why, because as you were explaining this to me, I was looking at you like, is he one of them?
What's so great about it, I think, and why it's probably so popular, is that if you get into one conspiracy theory and you start following the thread, because it's like, because this one is so, this is like the why of every other conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
Because when you go, okay, well, like, so why, let's say you're into like any conspiracy theory, And you're like, this bad thing happened and it's the government that did it, or it's these people that did it. Eventually, you're going to get to this question of why. Well, why? And then this answers why exactly, because the reptilian people need to feed off of our negative energy.
So they like, that makes them strong, our negative energy?
Yeah, they're really into it.
They smell it, eat it.
They consume it. It gives them life, gives them power.
Well, they're not going away anytime soon then, because like we all have negative energy. I mean, we just have to be loving all the time. I don't see that happening. Not to be negative. Oh, there I go. Vicious
cycle.
You're
just feeding them.
They're feeding off of me right now.
You're damn right they are.
Is Hillary Clinton a lizard person?
Oh, for sure.
Oh my God. You're right. It is. It's like the mother of all conspiracy theories, because it can, every other conspiracy theory works into
this. Right. It's like if, so we're going to get political again.
It's hard not to.
They were finding this, the dude, the Nashville bomber dude. Was into all sorts of conspiracy theories. His preferred one, it seemed, was the 5G one. 5G, mm-hmm. I don't exactly know what it's doing, but it's doing bad stuff.
It is COVID. it's connected to COVID.
Yeah, yeah. But the further you go, the deeper you got, and like this dude got, eventually it all roads lead to lizard people. So he was talking about lizard people. He had sent some wild letters to like friends and associates.
If he was against the lizard people, why is he blowing up a van and potentially really hurting people? That seems like it would feed the lizard people. That's not filling your heart with love.
Yeah, but he's also got to, you know, he's got to shake things up to get people paying attention, so.
Ah, that's a... you're pretty good at this. Another thing that's interesting about conspiracy theories is, you know, sometimes they're true. And this could be fun for us to explore, you know, like one of the ones I read about was during Prohibition, there was a conspiracy theory. I don't know if this is interesting, but I thought it was interesting. Like basically that the government was poisoning the drinking alcohol to get people to stop drinking. And that was true. And like 10,000 people died during Prohibition. Because it was just like a different kind of enforcement, and they ordered the poisoning of industrial alcohols manufactured in the U.S., products regularly stolen by bootleggers and resold as drinkable spirits. The idea was to scare people into giving up illicit drinking, and instead they just like killed thousands of people.
Damn.
So, yeah, it's cool because for all we know, lizard people is real.
Sure. That's all we know about anything.
Do you know anyone in your life who you think would be a lizard person off the bat?
No, that's what's so great about lizard people. You don't know them. They're way too famous, right?
So it's really just like the very rich, the very famous, the people who control
the global elites.
The global elites. Okay. Let's get a word from our sponsors.
Do you want a dog but hate the idea of the constant upkeep from feeding it to early morning walks to those expensive vet bills? ParkBark is the world's first dog-sharing app that lets you rent a dog when you want it and then drop it off safe and sound when you don't. ParkBark has all different breeds, temperaments, and sizes to suit your dog-owning needs. Need a companion for your walk home at night? Rent a 200-pound Rottweiler for a few hours and then drop that big boy off with another satisfied ParkBark customer. Or maybe you want an inquisitive young pup to make a good impression on your boss or significant other. Try a Labradoodle, a Chow Chow, or a Spaniel. ParkBark has the perfect dog for every occasion. And don't worry, the dogs love it too. Download ParkBark absolutely free wherever you get your apps, and for a limited time, enter promo code LEASH for a free leash and collar that you get to keep at home. That's ParkBark. Dogs when you want them, and no dogs when you don't.
And Colin, have you used that app yet? Because I would love to try that one out.
It's been great, and I got the free leash, which I've been trying out with my girlfriend.
So it fits her too?
Yeah, it fits every. It's adjustable size. You need all sorts. You need all sorts of sizes because the dogs come in different sizes too.
Right, of course. Okay. Are we ready to play conspiracy theory or I made it up?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, the poop is an alien, but he crashed and he's stuck. Conspiracy theory, or I made it up. Michael Jackson's alive, and he's driving a truck. Conspiracy theory, or I made it up. A fun little story is what you get. Make something up and put it on the internet.
In 1992, rumors began that Snapple had possible ties to the KKK. Such rumors started because their label for raspberry-flavored iced tea featured a miniature K above what looked suspiciously like a slave ship. Snapple defended themselves, saying the K stood for kosher, and the ship was taken from a drawing of the Boston Tea Party. conspiracy theory or I made it up.
That sounds true to me.
You're right.
Yes.
It's pretty crazy. It was on the raspberry iced tea ones, which my brother used to love.
All right, here's one. The rise of judge TV shows in the 90s and 2000s was part of an elaborate, multifaceted government plot to normalize increased incarceration, penalization, and increased government involvement in citizens' daily lives and disputes. By selecting unreasonable, often ludicrous plaintiffs and defendants, showing these judges as reasonable arbitrators, the government sought to sow distrust of fellow citizens while increasing the trust of government officials. Leaked FBI documents in 2008 showed suspicious connections between the several judges' production companies and high-ranking members of the U.S. Justice Department. Real conspiracy theory, or did I make it up?
Real conspiracy theory.
No, I made it up!
What? Oh, you're a genius. This just made me realize you're a genius.
But that would...
Oh my God.
That would be a pretty good one, right? That would be a pretty good one to start.
Oh, yeah. It works on so many levels. I mean, I completely believed it. And like, even that detail you beautifully added in about how the plaintiffs were always insane people.
They were, yeah.
So it was like you sided with the judge. The judge was like, you know, reminded you of your grandma or like just some really grounded, like, voice of reason person.
Right. And all these other morons were just like a bunch of yammering yahoos.
Yahoos. Oh my God. You're getting so good at conspiracy theories. Like, we just had the weekend to work on this, and you have excelled. Wow. Okay, here's one. Mm-hmm. Anti-circumcision activists, also known as intactivists, support banning all forms of circumcision. Jewish law requires circumcision, and the intactivist movement often features anti-Jewish imagery. An intactivist comic book called Foreskin Man portrays blonde Aryan superheroes fighting Jewish moils who perform circumcision. Recent demonstrations featured protesters carrying anti-circumcision signs reading, "Circumcision is the mark of the beast of Satan," and "Make America's penises great again with a foreskin. No foreskin, no peace." And my favorite, "Nobody wants less penis." Public figures like Howard Stern and Democratic candidate Andrew Yang recently declared themselves intactivists, drawing mainstream attention to what has widely been considered a fringe movement. Did I make this up, or is this real?
Some of those lines are really good, but I...
You don't think I'm capable of making those
up? No, they're so good that they make me feel like it's something that you wrote, but however, I don't think that you would write a conspiracy theory with an anti-Semitic bent. Doesn't sound like the Reese Hysterican I know.
Not the Reese Hysterican who played Anne Frank 3 times.
So I'm going to say that it's true because there's really no amount of anti-Semitism that would surprise me.
I feel the same way. And you're right. It's true. And yeah, Andrew Yang and Howard Stern are in fact intactivists.
I think probably if you asked them, "Do I associate with this movement?" they would probably say no. But that if you ask them,
"Yeah, I
are
agree.
You personally opposed to circumcision?" they would probably say yes.
In the early 1960s, it is rumored that Jackie O, had an affair with dairy farmer George Spahn, owner of the notorious Spahn Ranch, where Charles Manson and the Manson family moved in rent-free in exchange for labor. Theorists believe Jackie O knew about the infamous Manson murders and may have even played a role in the Tate murder in the summer of 1969 because she held a long-standing grudge against Sharon Tate, whom her husband JFK had once lusted after at a party.
Ooh, juicy. That sounds like a real conspiracy theory, because once again, I just don't see you inventing something from the 60s.
I made it up.
No, really?
Yes!
Ah, shit.
Look at me.
Good one.
I'm spanning decades.
We contain multitudes.
I contain multitudes. Don't underestimate me.
I never will again.
That'll teach you. Is it time for a word from our sponsor?
Yes.
Seasonal depression got you down? If you're like me, you've tried it all. Light therapy boxes, vitamins, and even medication. But here's something you haven't tried. What if I told you that in the blink of an eye, you could be transported to a gorgeous, sunlit place where you can wear a bathing suit and spend all day drinking salty margaritas? With Big Night Night, that easy, breezy, warm weather lifestyle can be yours. For as little as three payments of $445.95, say goodbye to gray, gloomy winter depression and hello to a registered and adorable nurse who will come to your residence and administer Big Night Night, a series of painless shots, sorry, we wish it were the vaccine, that will make it possible to just sit back, relax, and wake up happy and healthy in July of 2021. Big Night Night may cause seizure, high blood pressure, or heart disease in smokers, people over 70 years of age, or pregnant women. On rare occasions, Big Night Night has been linked to death or permanent vegetative state. Consult your doctor before entering Big Night Night, and remember to pay your rent in advance, because girl, you are going to be out cold until May. Go to www.sleepformonths.org and discover what everyone will be talking about once they wake up, that is.
All right, Risa, it is time now to, I think, pitch our own conspiracy theories. I want to know your best conspiracy theory. I'll tell you mine. And then we might be able to decide if these conspiracy theories are for us, like if these are the ones that we want to really lean into, because I feel like you and me, we're not ready to just go down the rabbit hole on any conspiracy theory. We want something unique. We want something that speaks more to us personally, and something because, you know, we like to be original.
That's a really good point. I'm not ready to just like jump at, you know, mole people, lizard people, pigeons for the government. Like, I want something that feels like me, that's comfortable, that's well-worn, that I can tell my friends and extended family about, and, you know, hopefully they'll accept me. Maybe I can even get them on board. Okay, here goes. The Cinnabon store at the mall is actually run by the government. Cinnabon smell, okay, is a mind control agent. Remember, case in point, the time New York City smelled like pancakes for like a week? Did you live in Brooklyn at that time?
I don't think so. What? When was that?
You may have still been at Emerson, but it was the year after I graduated college.
Wow. I bet I was in Boston.
Yeah, the city smelled like pancakes for like a week. And everyone was freaking out.
Did they ever find out what caused it?
Yes, Bloomberg held a press conference, and the smell came from Frutarom, a company that processed perfumes and food additives. It was a factory in North Bergen, New Jersey, and it had been processing fenugreek, which releases a scent very similar to maple syrup. But I'm just saying, the reality is the government has been utilizing delicious smells to track us and store our data for years. Their ultimate goal is to control information flow, tracking people's social circles and their family to make us more susceptible to manipulation, brainwashing, and ultimately cyber torture. Most importantly, they don't want us questioning anything. And I'll say that COVID has really thrown a wrench in the government's Cinnabon store plan, because people are not going to the malls right now.
And that's why everybody's waking up.
Wake up!
Wake up, sheeple. This is why all these protests, some people are protesting this, some people are protesting that, but nobody's happy, and it's probably because we're not smelling those sweet, sacred scents.
You got it, Colin. You're on board now. We're not at the mall. We're not smelling the sweet, you know, some might say Jamba Juice is also involved, those sweet smells that keep us sedated from the truths of the world.
Mm.
And yeah, the global uprising happening right now, the uprisings within America, people are waking up.
I feel pretty on board with that. Because one, it's anti-consumerist, which I like. That speaks to me.
Mm-hmm.
Two, it's sort of anti-sugar, which I am sort of on like a health anti-sugar kind of kick. So
you're in an anti-sugar phase and you didn't tell me? Okay, it's kind of awkward on the podcast where we're doing phases together as a team.
To be fair, I still have ice cream like at least once a week.
Okay, so you're not being super strict about it. That does make me feel better. Okay, sorry, I distracted you. So you like it because it's anti-capitalist,
yeah,
anti-consumerism, and anti-sugar.
Yeah, I'm into that.
Do you think you could be okay never going to a Cinnabon store again?
Yeah, for sure. Because the last time that I did, I'm like, those make you feel terrible.
Yeah.
It's so delicious.
They feel great going down.
Yeah, it's so delicious for like the first few bites. But even by the time you're taking like your last bite, you feel like your whole body is full of butter and sugar. And it makes you want to sit down and take a nap.
You're so right. I'm having some very visceral flashbacks as you're describing that. Like sitting with my mom at the mall under the staircase at Crossgates Mall in Albany and splitting a Cinnabon and an Auntie Anne's plain pretzel.
Yeah.
And they're so good. And we're like, this is our dinner. And then just feeling like so shitty in the car ride home and getting like a headache.
Right, because you just ate basically like a cake and a loaf of bread.
And like as they were digesting and you were leaving Crossgates Mall, the fluorescent lighting like gave you a migraine.
Right.
The combination was migraine inducing.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh. I'd be willing to, I mean, it's sinister. Even if it's not the government, it's sinister.
You're right. I feel good about
Alrighty.
It. Let's hear your
Here's
pitch.
Here's mine. One in every 3,000 people can hear the thoughts in other people's heads. This is a skill that some people are born with, but it doesn't get fully formed until they go through puberty. The only thoughts that they can't read are those of the people who share this gift, about one in every 3,000. So the people that have this gift climb social and professional ladders extremely easily and are therefore often the elite and most successful people in the world. They will often use this ability to steal brilliant ideas from the people close to them or from complete strangers. And they keep it a secret to hold on to their power. However, sometimes in some instances, they will leave clues to people, such as the Mel Gibson Helen Hunt movie, What Women Want, where a man suddenly gets the power to read women's minds after falling into a bathtub with a hairdryer. This is one of these ones that I feel like makes sense to me, because when you're thinking about like, God damn it, how are some people so successful? It seems like they always know the perfect thing around them to do, to say, to advance.
You're so right. Well, and this sort of, my question about this, I like it. I like where you're going. And it does make me feel better about not being as successful as I'd like to be. So it also makes people feel good about themselves, which is a very important thing about a conspiracy theory.
Right.
It should make you feel good about yourself.
And there, manipulating you in a subtle way to tell you what you want, and therefore you're going to like them and you're going to do what they want.
Yeah, because who doesn't want to be with that person who's like, hey, do you want to grab a pizza right now? And you're like, I was just thinking that you, this is why we're friends.
Right.
Like those moments are always very bonding. So I can see how that would help you climb the social ladder. I think it's a great one, Colin. I just wish I was one of those people.
Right. We all do.
But I know I'm not. We all want to be those people.
What's nice is we get to say, you know what? It's not my fault I wasn't born like that. I'm just doing the best I can as one of these regular non-mind-reading people.
Yeah, I'm a civilian. Yeah, I like that a lot. I think both of these conspiracy pitches could really work for us.
I think, actually, they could work in tandem.
Yeah, they could. Can you go more into that?
Okay. Your pitch is all about the Cinnabon as government control. But who and why? Why are they asking about that control? Why do they need to exert it? Here's why. Because they're mind-reading people who've risen to the top levels of power. They need to keep everybody else down.
Yeah.
Maybe the sugar. Maybe we all have mind-reading powers, but we're all eating too much sugar. Here's the missing link. We're eating sugar. They're doing their best to make sure we keep eating it to suppress our mind-reading abilities.
Whoa. You just blew my mind. And I love sugar, so this is all tracking for me.
You'll never be able to read mine like that.
Wow. But you might, with the way you're cutting down to one bowl of Ben and Jerry's a week. You've gotten a little more mind-reading lately, and I was wondering why you were so intuitive. Now I understand.
That's it, baby. I'm on my way. Did you find the meaning of life, or did it blow up in your face? Did you rise like a phoenix, or get shot down in flames? Tell us about it. Come on, tell us about that face. Tell us about it. Come on, tell us about that face. Joining us now, it's the Pride of Trenton. A musical artist, a country artist, what do we call this sort of music? A hootenanny, roots, Americana, strumming, country man, who has 21 songs and films, including Crash and The Hills Have Eyes, as well as numerous television shows. It's Moot Davis, who's got a new album coming out titled Seven Cities of Gold.
Nice.
Yay! A round
of applause.
Right on. The Pride of Trenton.
The Pride of Trenton. Has anyone ever introduced you as the Pride of Trenton before? Because I feel like you should make it your thing.
You're right. Well, I think it's already taken by a pork roll company here in Trenton. So.
Damn it. Damn it. We'll destroy them for you, Moot. The title can be all yours. That. Yeah. Thanks. Got you.
So, Moot, you and I met about 3 years ago when we were working on a cruise ship. And what struck me at first when we were talking about doing this episode and talking about guests was that, so when you and I were working on a cruise ship, one funny thing about cruise ships is that there are a lot of like conspiracy theories about the ship when you're working there. I think the most famous one for me is that it's like a rumor amongst the people that work on the ship that the ship puts laxatives in your food.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah.
You remember that one?
Yeah. I think that's more that's truth instead of conspiracy theory. But yeah, yeah, oh, that's,
right.
I remember it quite well.
Well, yeah. So it's sort of hard to like, what's a rumor and where does it come from? And what is, how does that turn into a conspiracy theory? I felt like I had no particular reason to believe they were putting laxatives in my food. And yet there were times when it was like, what's going on with my digestion right now?
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah. I think they did. You know, it makes sense. You know, they're trying to keep everything moving and they don't want any kind of blockages or anything. But yeah, you can, there were days where you thought you picked up malaria or something. So,
right. Yeah. So Moot, when I was talking to you on the ship, I couldn't remember a specific story, but I do remember talking to you about conspiracy theories and you saying what to me sounded like you've basically never heard a conspiracy theory you didn't like at least a little bit.
Right. Right.
Can you explain why that is, like, or what it is, or how you started hearing about any of this?
Yeah. You have to understand, I heard different things on the radio and mostly about, you know, like 9/11 and stuff, all throughout the years I was touring, like around 2000, I don't know, 5 and 6, something like that. Every time we go to Texas, you know, there'd be a radio station that the owner of the record label who was touring with us, he would listen to it. And so you'd hear different things, but I was, so anti any kind of anything political, anything. I just didn't care, period, about anything. And then there came a point, I think in 2007, where I had left Los Angeles and I moved back to Nashville, to the same place, the same, you know, sort of boarding house that I was living in before I went to California. And the owner, her boyfriend and I, we were friends just in passing at the time. And they were doing some remodeling at the place, something like that. Anyway, he wanted to watch the TV and the only TV in the place was in my part of the house. And so he came in and was watching and just mentioned something about it. And I was like, oh man, I really, you know, he mentioned some sort of conspiracy theory. I don't know about what, remember what, but I just remember telling him I'm not really, it just, I'm not interested. You know, I just didn't care. And I don't know what happened. He said something and it made some sense. And so I said, okay, you know, well, I'll check on that later. And it just so happens that, you know, as a musician, you have, your days are quite free if you're not touring. So yeah, I went down the rabbit hole, you know. I started looking at all the stuff that never made sense to me, you know. Everything from, I don't know, the JFK assassination, I think, was a huge one for me. And 9/11 was real, still really, you know, fresh and scary and all that. And just started down that path of looking at things and then finding that the, you know, so-called conspiracy theory explanation made a lot more sense to me than the normal story. You know, if you start to really look at stuff, I mean, even the term conspiracy theory, it comes from the JFK assassination, and the CIA made it up. They made up the term conspiracy theory to shut down people who were, you know, bringing up the inconsistencies in the story of the assassination. So, yeah, it frightened me. It frightened me so much. It's strange to go from not thinking about this stuff at all and not caring and not, you know, just kind of being, you know, kind of asleep to all this kind of treachery kind of thing, you know, to waking up to it really quickly and saying like, holy shit, like, I don't feel safe at all, you know, like, at all. I don't feel comfortable. And I left, I went to New Zealand. I went to, you know, to Wellington, New Zealand, for about half a year and tried to figure it all out. And yeah.
Take me to moving to New Zealand. Like,
right.
Yeah. Was there one theory that prompted that, or was it more of like a, I have an opportunity to move to New Zealand and maybe I can clear my head, or what was the sort of impetus there?
There were two things going on. Number one, I was freaked out, genuinely freaked out. It may have been, all the material was pretty heavy, and I had, again, quite a bit of time on my hands to kill and just spent it, sort of diving into all this. So it had me in a freaked out state of mind, and I was fighting so much with, the record label that I was on and my girlfriend at the time. And it just goes like, every direction seemed like probably be good to get as far away as I can, physically. You move to New Zealand, people stop fighting with you cause you're hard to get a hold of. I was able to, start writing songs and stuff. I mean, all the things I was concerned about, hadn't changed by the time I came back, but you sort of get it as far away as you can. And you realize that everybody you care about is back home. So then came home.
Did you just like point to a map and be like, this is as far away as I can get? Or was there a particular reason that drew you to New Zealand?
Well, it was as far away as I could get that spoke English, and somehow they were, giving bums like me a work visa, for a year. So, it just all lined up, and I had read an article that New Zealand was like California was 50 years ago. So I was like, oh, well, that might work. So
I'm wondering, with conspiracy theories, like, I know this was a period in your life that was a while ago. Would you say that like those were the theories you sort of held on to and that you still think about and you question things today? When you hear new conspiracy theories, like obviously we're in a time in history where there's a lot of conspiracy theories floating around. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you've still like latch on to things, or was it more just like that period of time?
Are those the golden era conspiracy?
Yeah, exactly. Are those like the golden oldies? Era? Right. Are you a classic kind of guy in that way?
Right. Obviously I think those things, the two big ones that I talked about in the beginning, JFK assassination and 9/11, I think, I think I still think that there are many unanswered things that are going on with those instances, that are still affecting things today, and then when, new things come up, I don't know where you two stand on conspiracy theories, but I think you have to be open you have to be open to looking at not just the side of things that you're comfortable with, but also the side of things that you may be uncomfortable with. And, we're dealing with people, and people are, pretty flawed. So I think, I don't think that it stopped there. And, obviously I don't feel the need to talk about it to many people these days.
I think that was what was so interesting to me about wanting to talk to you specifically was because you're not a person who's talking about them all the time. You're not a person who is, blasting social media with your political opinions and like you,
right.
you sort of are a fairly apolitical kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's so interesting about when, like, if you imagine a conspiracy theorist in your head, if you're me, this person is, like, just blasting out their opinion nonstop and is generally, like, insufferable. And that's not right. how I think of you. In fact, it was, it wasn't until like months and months and months of knowing you that we even broached this topic at all. I would have, you know, never known if you were like interested in JFK or 9/11 or whatever until several months of, I think we were probably hanging out at the getaway bar getting wasted after a show.
Yeah.
The getaway bar is, for those of us not who have not been on a cruise, is that a special VIP bar for the performers?
No, there is no VIP bar for the performers. Only VIP in the sense that we can use like a passenger bar instead of the crew bar.
They're like, there's no laxatives at this one bar that I know of.
Right. Well, hopefully they didn't put it in the drinks, but I think they put it in the food for sure. But who knows?
That's so crazy to
If you were putting laxatives in the food and you're Norwegian Cruise Lines, which food would you choose?
I don't know. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
We can all answer this question.
Well, I was going to say I would choose like spaghetti and meatballs because you could crush it up and put it in the meatballs. And I was just thinking because we've been giving our dog medication and crushing it up and putting it in these little peanut butter balls. I just think it's pills are really good in like ball form. So I'd say spaghetti and meatballs would be my vote.
Right. A sauce, maybe something like a powder sprinkled into a sauce. I'm just thinking like if you wanted to take a cruise, if you were so inclined and you wanted to avoid the laxatives.
I think the only way you would like avoid the foods would be if you like brought your own Clif bars on those cruises and like just ate those.
I'm just wondering like, yeah, is there, if you were just going to eat their bread.
Yeah, the bread probably would be pretty safe.
Is it the meat or is it the sauces? I don't know.
I heard it was in everything. That's what
everything.
I heard.
Wow.
Everything. Yeah.
Have you tried to incorporate any conspiratorial thoughts into your art and music?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I think that stuff's always there, you know, for me, because, you know, those are just like different things that you like, you know, can create a song with. So I think there's stuff on the new album that, you know, kind of talks about, and in the past albums, I think I've talked about, you know, sort of UFOs and stuff like that, which is kind of like, for me, I think, you know, talking about that kind of stuff is more like, though I think something's going on, it's more tongue in cheek. It doesn't seem super serious to me. You know, it's not like, you know, I don't equate it with the JFK kind of stuff or 9/11 where, you know,
aliens are fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's more light, you know. It's nothing like, you know, that other stuff's pretty heavy. Yeah, I can use some of that in here and there in songs and stuff like that. And there are other conspiracy theory stuff that creeps in. Yeah, I think I was still in my 20s when I did that New Zealand move, you know. So, you know, you learn to cope a little better as time goes by. So wait, now where are both of you on conspiracy theories?
I think it's fair to say that, at least for this episode, because we are attempting to make a comedy podcast, that most of our research has brought us in the direction of conspiracy theories that we think are entertaining, maybe more than
The more serious ones the ones you've mentioned, we haven't really mentioned because we were looking at the more extreme ones. But sorry, Colin.
No, that's exactly right. But I do think it's interesting that once you start digging around a little bit, oftentimes they like one leads to another in a way, you know, I found my favorite one, and it's the one that incorporates everything, which is the lizard people one.
Nice. Yeah.
So I like that. When I say I like it, what I mean is that I like it because it entertains me.
Right.
Which is what I'm mostly hoping to get out of a good conspiracy theory.
That's fair.
I want to think about it for about like a minute. And I want it to tickle me in a way that makes me happy. And
right.
And I want to move on with my life.
That's fair. It's probably a healthy way to go about it.
I did enjoy, there were a few that were like, who JonBenet Ramsey now is, that she wasn't murdered. Have you heard those?
Oh, yeah.
You know those two?
I haven't gotten
it. Oh, yeah. No. Basically, that Katy Perry is JonBenet Ramsey.
Nice.
Yeah, nice. That's a good one.
Nice. I heard, I did, yeah, there are fun ones like Morgan Freeman's Jimi Hendrix, or, you know, Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, ones like that. Yeah, like all these people who we think died didn't die, and
nobody
who they
dies.
Are now.
Right.
Nobody actually really died.
Right. I heard Jim Morrison's Rush Limbaugh, so.
I love that one.
Yeah.
Well, he is the Lizard King.
Yeah, there you go. There
Full
you go.
Circle.
Well, you know, there is one thing interesting about Morrison. Did you know that... do you guys know of this book called Weird Scenes Inside the Canyon? It's a book that talks about how all the prominent figures in the counterculture music movement of the 60s, everybody from like the Mamas and the Papas and Crosby, Stills and Nash, and everybody, Morrison, you know, the Doors, they were all the sons and daughters of military intelligence. And that at the, you know, they were all sort of based in this joint called Laurel Canyon in California. And at the top of Laurel Canyon was like a secret CIA base. And that, you know, there was this whole move by the CIA to, get in front of like real movements and sort of hijack them. Right. So like, you know, the whole anti-Vietnam War push started on college campuses with like professors and stuff, you know, educated people, you know, sort of, you know, raising questions about the war. And they thought the best way to hijack that whole movement was to, not only get on top of the music scene, but to hijack the whole culture as well. So like the whole hippie culture, you know, was so freakish looking to normal people that they couldn't take it seriously. And then sort of the hippie movement became the anti-war movement, and it just sort of lost all its credibility. You know what I mean? And they also interjected this whole drug culture into it. So yeah, you check that one out. It's a Weird Scenes Inside the Canyon, but you go through the list of anybody who was anybody back then, and they're all the sons and daughters of like military intelligence.
Yeah, I did
Very
hear.
Strange.
When I was doing some research for this show, I did look up something like that. The connection I saw was something about the Grateful Dead and like the acid tests in San Francisco, mm-hmm. which were basically right. been connected to the whole like MK Ultra thing.
Sure. Yeah.
That it's basically, yeah, like trying to stave off the anti-war movement by turning it into like a spiritual and drug movement. Have you heard ones where you're like doing some investigating and then you start to do it and you're like, you know what? This one is just not for me. This one is a little cuckoo bananas.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, even that lizard stuff, the lizard people stuff. I mean, you know, that's so far from my reality, you know, that it's, I mean, if that shit is going on, then that's, you know, I don't know what that means, but that's not my reality, you know? I mean, there's enough going on with just people being scoundrels and other stuff. So, yeah, I don't know. When you add, like, lizard people into the mix, it just, I don't know what that means, you know?
It starts to be a little overwhelming. So, yeah, I think that gives you an idea of where me and Reese are at. I mean,
we're just beginning kind of our exploration into this.
Yeah, makes sense.
And hopefully trying to be entertained along the way.
Thanks so much for listening to Risa and Colin Figure Out What to Do with Their Lives. Tune in next week when we contemplate becoming survivalists. If you like what you just heard, please rate us, leave a review, and subscribe. Okay, bye!